you never heard of.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
This episode is brought to you by Barn Owl. BarnOwl.tech. Check it out. What's Barn Owl? Barn Owl is a surveillance camera company. Think game cam, but with surveillance technology. Barn Owl brings things like solar power, so solar panels that you can set up to power your cam, so you don't have to worry about batteries or battery life. Cellular connectivity. The cellular connectivity is next level. So what I can say about that and what we've experienced is down at in our hunting area, we're down in the bottoms. My cell phone doesn't work flat out. I can't get messages. I can't get on the Instas. I can't do anything. But the camera connects down there. So I don't know what it is. Some magic that they got in there that's making these dang things work. But here's the deal with Barn Owl. We've partnered with these folks. We've used it in a couple different scenarios for us today. In this current situation, we've got it as surveillance. So we've got up on the road. We're down on a dead-end road. We're out in rural Nebraska. We're able to see day-to-day the activity on that road, who's coming in, who's coming out. Obviously, we're running a business, so we see, you know, delivery folks. But oftentimes, we see some other vehicles. Not sure what those folks are doing here, and then that gives us the opportunity to understand that there is someone and we can see what's going on. Also, we have used this for some game camera situations, and we've got some more coming up. So this device is super versatile. If you are looking for a good quality product, something with the ability to have a bunch of different mounting solutions, because they do have those on the website as well. As I said, cellular connectivity, it's going to send the messages directly to your phone, to the app that you have on your phone. And then also world-class customer service. They brag about this all the time, and I was skeptical in the beginning, but found out myself because I've used the customer service line, and they're right on, man. It's local folks. It's folks who know the product, and they can walk you through all the settings and all the things that you need, any kind of troubleshooting. So seems like a great company so far. We're really enjoying working with them. We've got a bunch more testing to do, but everything so far has been awesome. So if you were to visit barnowl.tech, and I'm going to give you a link, it's .tech/pages/farm-focused. Now, I know that's a lot to remember, but if you go there, you'll see our setup, our landing page, and the discounts. But if you just go to barnowl.tech and at checkout, use the code FARMFOCUSED, F-O-C-U-S-E-D, that's going to get you 10% off. That's all one word. Of any of the Barn Owl products, it's well worth it. Check it out. Pretty much everybody today is looking for some kind of surveillance, some kind of camera solution on their property. And I know many of the folks listening here are doing the same. So check it out. Barnowl.tech and code FARM FOCUSED, F-O-C-U-S-E-D. Check them out at Barn Owl. Thank you.
All right, we got 1.5 Pastors podcast. We're hitting the road. We are in the exotic location of one of our members' basement. So we've got Joel Stolten out here. Sir. He's in the house. All right, Pastor Dan isn't with me for this particular episode, but we've got some special guests. This is not the Joe Rogan Experience, and we do not get high-powered politicians on here, but we do have winners from our recent Ribfest, and I think that's a better tier of guests than Joe Rogan has access to, man. Personally. So we've got our own member at Faith, Dave Draper. Hello. Who is with us. He won the overall, and we've got Ben Evers and Nick Schofield here with us from Farm Focus, and they were the fan favorite. They won the fan favorite award, and so thanks, guys, for being here today and being part of things. And joining the discussion. So, I don't know. Do you want to say something here, Joel, as we get started?
Yeah, I just thought it was a fun idea. And
Will, honestly, I miss this, as you know, right? Mm-hmm. So I selfishly said, we can debrief this, but it's got to be in my basement. We got to invite Ben, Nick, mm-hmm. and any other winners that want to be here. So, yeah, I'm thrilled. Welcome to my basement, and y'all just sesh it up and have a good old time.
All right, thanks. So how in the world did we get here? We got here, actually, again, through Joel. He was at a golf tournament. What tournament was that? That was...
So that was the Degan, Corporal Degan Page Memorial Golf Tournament.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So the fundraiser tournament, this was the third year that's put on by Degan Page's family mm-hmm. Down in Cass County.
Yeah.
In remembrance and in honor of mm-hmm. Degan, one of the 13 fallen soldiers from the Afghan pullout.
Yeah.
So one of our local boys. And
it's a really cool event. I've actually played in it before myself. Yep. I just wasn't there this past year, but that's a really cool event. Yep. And I'm glad that y'all got to take part in that as well.
Yep. So the way they set us up, we were doing barbecue there for the event. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're family friends.
Were you doing the party wings?
No. Well, we did do party wings, but not officially. We were just kind of handing those off, you know, here and there.
For any of our immense... fan base for this podcast.
Right.
By the way, if you look us up on iTunes, I love that 1.5 pastors is right behind 1.5 lesbians. I think that's really great. We have an immense fan base. So for the fans at home, what are party wings? We got to get the barbecue terminology.
I'll let Nick talk about that because he actually introduced them to me.
So party ribs are baby back ribs or spare ribs, whatever you want to do. But instead of the whole rack and doing the whole thing at the same time, you cut them individually the night before, mm-hmm. season them up, and then come serving time, I think they have a better flavor because they have that flavor profile mm-hmm. all the way around them. And so you get, you know, instead of just the seasoning on the outside, you get a more rounded bite, and mm-hmm. they cook... like in a third of the time.
Yeah,
a
little quicker.
Well, I just remember the two of y'all getting there the night before, and we all had a late night, right? And y'all went into the freezer.
Yeah.
And you came out with just like a whole kitchen cart.
We took 80 racks of ribs.
80 racks is so crazy. And then you cut them all up. You threw them in these huge coolers with all the schmeckas, all the spices and all that.
Can we tell them what the hookers?
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. No.
Okay. So we had a cooler. So about midnight we finished up. So we did probably 60 racks party mm-hmm. style. And then we, did like, it was 11:30 and he still had to drive a half hour home. And then we were going to meet there at 4:30.
Yeah.
And so it was like, all right, let's just roll. So we did full racks, but like, we didn't realize that cooler I have is 150 quarts.
Oh, wow.
And we had it couldn't have fit anymore.
Yeah.
And we couldn't even lift it by the handles because it was pulling off the side.
It was ripping. It was ripping the handles off.
And we had some ice in there, you know, to keep it proper and keep it health conscious. But like, we could barely get in the back of the truck. So.
Well, y'all really, really helped out the event to be a success because when we saw a line down the block, we were like, so that was actually one of our biggest fears because this was our first ever Ribfest event. And one of our biggest fears was what happens if we're actually successful and people show up, you know? Because when you try to do something for the first time, you don't know. And y'all really helped the event to be a success because the fact that you were able to turn out so much product really helped. But you were at the golf tournament
doing that kind
of stuff before, right?
Yes, yeah, so that's what I was going to say. And how we came familiar with you guys, we were at the event. We were doing pulled pork for that. So we did 40 shoulders, something along those lines. And then we did some ribs just for the fun of it. We did some wings. We did random things just to hand to the golfers because they're cruising by on the turn and they're hungry and whatever. And Joel was set up directly across from us. So everyone was kind of out on the course up by the clubhouse.
Right.
And he was clearly a barbecue guy. You know, he comes over and starts talking about, what are you guys doing here? What are you doing there? Like, he's looking for tips and tricks and stuff. And we're just having barbecue chat. And just kind of kicked it off and had fun with each other. And then he started talking about the, you know, your guys' event.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what actually happened, to be honest, is I wasn't around. We're at the Page event. We're sitting around the smoker. We're, of course, drinking some beers. We're hanging out, having fun with folks. Nick had a few. And Joel tricked him into agreeing. because later... Nick comes up to me and he's like, "Oh yeah, we're doing another event next week." And I was like, What are you talking about, man?" And he started telling me about it, and I was like, "Oh boy, here we go." So then Joel came up and started talking to me about it, and then he comes up to me with his phone.
Yeah.
And he's already signing us up. He's already got like all the information on there, and he's like, "So what email address should I put in here?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about, man?" And he's like, "Tell me about the thing, you know, whatever." And I was like, "Okay, all right, well, we're doing it. We're in. Let's go."
Yeah. This is the thing. This is happening.
And the thing was, is the Page event is a 3-day golf event.
Yeah.
So we're cooking for 4 days. So we start the evening before, we cook all evening, and then we cook all day for 3 days.
Very long weekend.
Yeah. Which it's awesome. It's fun, but it's a long one. So I was like,
I love how you're like, it's a very long weekend. It's like 4 days. You know, for most people, that's almost a whole work week.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You
realize that. True.
Yeah. I remember in the Beatles, like it was a long day's night, you know? Yeah.
So. Right. So when, needless to say, when he told me he signed us up for another thing the next weekend, I was like, all right, well, let's do it, man.
All right,
sounds
this
fun.
Is happening.
Let's go.
Yep. Yeah, we're doing it.
Yep.
Well, it was awesome to have y'all there. And, you know, I think one of the things that I'd like to talk about today is just how connection works and the ripple effect of connections. You know, you're talking about Nick had a couple, and before you knew it, you were like agreeing to something. I was studying to become a pastor, and I had this professor who was from Brazil, actually. And he was inviting me over to his house for dinner. So I go over because I had studied Portuguese language. And so he asked me over. I'm trying to practice my Portuguese. And he's this Brazilian dude, right? So he starts, his wife is cooking a traditional Brazilian dish. He starts serving me shots of this Brazilian rum called cachaça, okay? So he starts serving me shots, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get an A in this guy's class. He loves me. He's giving me all these shots. You know what it turns out, Nick, what he was doing? He was getting me a little liquored up so he could ask me, you know, we got a sister seminary down in Brazil. I think you should do an exchange here and go down there.
There you go.
But you know what? I met my wife down there.
It's a gateway.
Oh, wow. See? Wow. So the ripple effect of connection, right? Yeah, so you make one connection, then you make another connection, then you make another connection.
That's
so
pretty awesome.
I was hoping maybe we could talk a little bit about that today and how that functions. So y'all ran into Joel at the tournament, then suddenly you're at our tournament. And I think when I think about the kinds of connections that we want to make in the community, I think sometimes people talk about connection in a weird way. And the weird way, and I know marketing's part of life, but to me, guys, the weird way to make connections is just on the basis of transaction or marketing or sales. Mm-hmm. Like to me, that's a weird way to make connection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm saying that as the son of a guy who was a salesman. So my daddy was a salesman for a lot of years until he went into business for himself. So he started out as a school teacher, then he went into sales, then he went into business for himself. But when I asked my dad about sales as a young kid, you know, because we were riding in the car, and I asked him about it, and he said, I don't look at it that way. I look at it as an opportunity to make friends. And so when you're talking about human connection, I was wondering if y'all wanted to talk a little bit about how we make connections in the community and what's at stake in terms of making those connections, and because there's always a ripple effect. When you make one connection, you've made a second, you've made a third, you've made a fourth. But what's at stake for y'all when you think about the kinds of connections that you're trying to make in the wider community?
Hmm. I mean, I guess I'll start. excuse me. So I'm in my 40s now, and so I've been through a lot of those connections and those friends and those business activities and, you know, those just for fun activities and those kinds of things. And I feel like one of the things that you said is what's at stake in those connections. And that's probably become more apparent to me at an older age than anything. And it's good and bad. So what's at stake? What's at stake is that, one, when we make these connections and you know, we meet these new folks and these kinds of things, how much are we gonna divulge to them? You know, what are they going to think about us when they find out? And when I say us, I'm talking about my wife, because when I'm making those connections, it's a family connection. It's not just me. You know what I mean? Yeah. She came out to the event as well. She was there all day hanging out with folks and
absolutely,
all that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So not that you necessarily have anything to hide, but are you ready to have those conversations? Are those people even comfortable enough for you to bring up those kinds of things when they see that stuff, and vice versa, you know, same way. So I feel like a lot of the connections that we've made as we've gotten older are more surface level. Like, you know, we have we have fun with these folks. You know, it's a good time here and there. We do these things, but we don't get in deep.
Right.
Good or bad, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we think about that. Like, should we get to know these people better, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Also, what I've learned is that over the years, you know, having kids, the kids were what created those initial connections. Because we moved a lot. So I worked a job.
Unpack that a little bit. What do you mean you moved? Like, what caused that you were moving a lot?
Yeah, so I worked a corporate job that moved us around to different territories.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like a military style, you know, if you were to think about it and how we were moving to these different territories. But we'd get to these different areas and go to work, and what created the connections for us was our kids being involved in the school, the sports, you know, whatever it is, and that's how we met people. And a lot of it did kind of stay on the surface. So I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm just saying, like, the kids have been so critical for us in making new connections and connecting with folks. And then where I'll end it and let you guys go is, you know, Nick sitting right here. This has been one of my buddies since kindergarten, before. I don't know what.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what's the connection here?
So
yeah.
I think on his mom's fridge in her kitchen, she has a picture of him and I playing soccer. Yeah. And I think we're four.
yeah,
you know, right, and yeah. So, but like all the time, like I've never left Papillion or Bellevue.
Okay,
and so like he moved to Texas, Tennessee, Minnesota, and I'm always just the kind of like we always just kept in touch.
Yep,
yeah,
like always, like,
and it's always been.
And we went to different high schools. Yeah, I went to one on one side of town. He went to another one, and like
yeah,
you know,
that's right. Yep, yep. And it's always been one of those connections where like. We can always come back to it, you know, no matter what.
It just picks right up.
Pick it back up.
Yeah, yeah, no matter what.
It can be 6 months.
And I guarantee you, you know, him and his wife, me and my wife, you know, there's probably been conversations, you know, about the other person, like, that freaking guy, man, you know, he does this, he does that, whatever. And you're just like, you know what? It doesn't matter.
Right.
That guy can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, we're going to be together forever.
Right.
You know? And that's just one of those that we're very fortunate to have. Not a lot of people have that.
Yeah. You know, I think about sometimes in life, you think you have a certain number of friends, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't know until the stuff hits the fan what those people's metal is really made of and what you mean to them. And so it's sometimes difficult moments in life that teach you, I thought this person was a friend. Maybe they're more of like a we go to the bar kind of buddy play golf kind of buddy.
Yep.
And then the stuff hits the fan. It's no, this person's actually a friend and I can count on them in a way like y'all are talking about, like always be there. I got to ask though, like you lived in Tennessee for a while?
That's right. Yep.
Where?
Outside of Knoxville.
Where in outside of Knoxville?
Farragut was the town.
Farragut. I know
Farragut. We were just outside of Farragut actually, but it's West Knoxville.
Okay, yeah. So I'm from Nashville originally.
Okay.
And I went to school at the University of Tennessee.
Yep.
So I definitely know down Thunder Road towards Farragut. Yeah, A lot of people don't know Kingston Pike is actually Thunder Road.
Yep, that's the main thoroughfare we took. Yeah,
you're welcome, all the NASCAR fans. You're welcome for that reference. But
Tennessee was awesome, man. We lived there for almost 5 years. And you talk about those connections. We made a lot of really good connections that still today, it's been, gosh, when did we leave there? It would have been 2014, 2015, somewhere in that range. So 10 years, still folks I talked to down there that, again, we'd pick right up where we left off. I love those love those people, man.
Dave, what do you think? Like when you're thinking about the connections you make in the wider community, like what's at stake for you?
Well, I mean, I'm going to kind of piggyback off what Ben was talking about here with the children.
Right.
Because, I've made a lot of friends through William, my son, who goes to school with Sam, Joel's kiddo, and through my wife, and all of her friends. So, I mean, it's kind of amazing on how you can, go from zero to being involved with a friend group of my wife or my children's and just kind of build friendship from there. And to kind of go off what you were saying with, the people that you call that maybe, I've heard the term 3 a.m. friend.
Yeah, right.
Those are the people that you can call at 3 a.m. with something like, hey,
I murdered a guy.
Exactly. I murdered a guy.
No, we're not that guy.
And we got to go find out where we're going to hide the body.
No, that's the bad side.
But no, that's, I mean, those are the relationships that you can build over time. And it's not something that you can just walk into and go, hey, you're my new 3 a.m. friend. That's going to take time. That's going to take a relationship. That's going to take almost like intimate conversation over, like, you know, how you were raised, what you did, what you do, your beliefs, your values, those take time.
Yeah. So you talk about the kids, they can walk up to each other if they're young enough and just say, are we friends now? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we're friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is great. And then you can do that as a kid. I think the older you get, because y'all were like on the same soccer team at like, what'd you say, 4?
Yep.
And so you just walked up and said, are you my friend? And it's like, yeah, I'm your ride or die. That's it. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And you can do that as a little kid. I think as you get older, you end up weirdly dating friends. Like you get, like you're saying, like get to know people and you have to like, isn't that weird though, that changes?
It's kind of interesting. I'm an IT guy. So I'm kind of introverted. I'm kind of, you know, a nerd and everything. So it makes it even harder. So like it's just interesting when you get involved with new relationships and how you have to build them and the amount of work it takes to actually, you know, build a good relationship. So
it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Or maybe if you're just wrenching on something together.
Oh, that all.
So you made some new connections at the Rib Fest because we're all talking Q.
Right. Oh, definitely.
And then you're like, the way that we set everybody up was on top of each other, which by the way, fellas, was risky. I noticed y'all put a little distance. I didn't know if that was because of the size of your rig or because
we didn't need power.
You didn't need power. You know what I was wondering? I didn't know if you didn't want other people to know about your spice recipe. You know what I mean? Because, you know, people can get a little touchy around
it. It was not even that. We just
around
pulled up
the technique,
like,
you know?
Where do you want us? Yeah. They're like, well, you don't need power. Park over here.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering, because, you know, you never know. Because, you know, if it's in competition, because we had judges and stuff,
Right.
It was intimidating as all get out. I mean, because my buddy Nate and I were like, we're just backyard, you know, friends. Yep. We're good buddies and everything. And we see you guys roll up and we're like, yep. It's that. Oh boy, that's it.
To give a little bit of context, Nick and I have never done a competition.
So it's not together.
Yeah, he's done a couple. I've never done one. And
when
done
y'all
one
roll
joint.
Up with that rig, you're just there to like just hang out and feed people.
That's it, man.
Yeah. No, it's just him and I bought it. I don't know.
Just for fun of February. It, man. It sounded fun.
Like we haven't made a dime. We don't do anything.
Yeah.
Other than this constructive, but like. Mm-hmm. It's just fun to bring people together.
That's
food is where it's at.
That's great.
And that is a great thing. Like I bring it to baseball tournaments and I'll fire it up all day for the whole weekend. And I'm like, hey, you teams from Chicago, Missouri, Texas, bring whatever, throw it on. Right. Like it's going to be rolling.
And I just appreciate that that's your approach because you know the song, right? You can't eat at everybody's house. You know that song?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't eat at everybody's house, right? But if you know how to cook, right, and you can bring people together over tasty food, that's the way that it goes. So, but what I think is so interesting about that is that y'all's friendship is what it is outside of something like this kind of event. But then you just have this desire to bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think about connection, there's the connection that's an interpersonal or personal connection. And then there's whether or not you are the kind of person that's wired in such a way to where you like to sort of be a clearinghouse. You like to see other people connect because you were in the room. And that's a weird thing when you think about it. I mean, think about this with me. That's a weird thing because some people walk into a room and it's like they're trying to like look at me or am I cool enough to be in this room or whatever. And then there's people who walk in the room. And because they're there, other connections are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that y'all's friendship is, I hate to sound kind of psychological about it, but like it's secure enough to where you're walking into a space and other people are now finding a connection because you happen to be there.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know, like if you've reflected on that before, if you're just like just being you and it just sort of happens. But
yeah, that's not something I've really given a lot of thought to, but
yeah,
definitely. I think what you're talking about is kind of portrays a level of comfort and like this, you know, like this, what we're doing right here, this is unknown, you know, like we come over here, we don't know this neighborhood, we don't know this town, we don't know you guys that well.
Right. Right. Yep.
I don't feel weird at all in a way because I come walking in here with Nick, cause I know, you know, me and him, it's like,
Right.
I'm comfortable. I'm with my dude.
Yeah.
And then I also can tell that you guys are good guys as well. But as you said, I mean, it kind of plays a little bit to that.
Well, what I want to know is which one of you is Wyatt Earp and which one of you is Doc Holliday? That's what I need to know.
I honestly don't know.
So you're gonna answer this.
Okay.
So
yeah.
And his wife made a perfect post last week.
Yeah.
Like a meme about a dude just being super calm and super chill. That's Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
And like that'd be him.
Okay.
Big, right. Tall, lengthy, yeah, feller.
Yeah.
You know, and then sometimes I shoot from the hip, you know, get us into trouble.
That's true.
It happens. So,
so you're Doc. All right, Doc, for sure.
Yeah, you got it.
I came interrupting. Hey, Joel.
You're not interrupting.
Well, I own the place, so I thought maybe I could hop in. This is a really simple point, but I think it's rather profound. I've noticed that a lot of times the real relationship happens when you're doing something else. And you kind of reference that about wrenching on something. But you, and that's not just about relationships. There's a quote that rarely, if you set out to find happiness and that's your only goal, like I am going to be happy, and you work for it and you think about it, that doesn't actually make you happy.
Right.
You find happiness while you do other things. And I think there's something similar there with relationships. I think really good relationships happen actually while you're doing something in common, shared values. And maybe that's different for guys too. I think some of that, it's like, we don't need to, you know, here's Will with his PhD talking about, you know, psychology and feelings and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But he's also good with Q and knows his bourbon. He's plenty masculine. Let's not get that wrong. But I do think sometimes for guys, it's easier to do something together and then boom, it happens really fast. And that's a cool thing. I think that's the way God built us. I think that's really amazing. But I just want to make that point. Yeah. Like, I think it happens while something else is happening. And you can't just set out to do it or you'll never get it.
It'd
be kind of elusive.
Yeah, and I think to your point as well, like as much as dudes, so many of them, and I do the same thing, want to act like, you know, I'm independent, I'm a tough guy, I can do my thing, I can handle this on my own, you know, whatever, kind of where this started, you know, you're talking about this community and these connections, you come back to that, and that is probably really where we find our strength. Like we have enough of our strength to go for a little while on our own, but we have to pull from some of these other folks, some of these connections that we have to keep that going in a really good way, in a really positive way, in an effective way. At least that's for myself. And that's where those connections come in.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of an interesting kind of turn here to the discussion. What do you see going on with masculinity, maybe in your circles, that, cause we're touching on it now, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
What does it mean to be a dude, to be a guy? You said we oftentimes think about, well, we got to go it alone, and maybe that's not actually accurate. Maybe there's another way to think about.
Yeah.
What do you see going on out there today as you're looking at relationships and how guys are trying to make it today, maybe just in your circles here in Nebraska? Like,
yeah. Thank you.
Is there a way we can go down that rabbit hole for a minute?
No, yeah. I think it's a great conversation. For me, you know, just masculinity in general, and we could speak about that for hours, but I think it has a very important role in so many things that we do. And I think there's a lot of forces that are trying to, suppress that, you know, and then there's a number of them out there that are trying to promote it and it's healthy aspects. Again, just reflecting on my age and just kind of the things that I've done and where I'm at today, it feels like at this particular age, and again, you know, I'm just a little over 40, so many guys that I know, and maybe you call it like a midlife crisis or whatever it is, are just trying to not redefine themselves, but maybe define themselves in their own mind, you know, like, this is who I am. This is what I do. I'm still this. I'm still good. I'm still, you know, I can still accomplish this. I can still do these things, you know.
Is this where we insert the joke about, like, at midlife, you need to make a decision? Either you become a Civil War history buff or you learn how to barbecue?
That,
is this where we insert that?
Yeah.
Just so that everybody at home can, like, just get that out of the way and then we'll move on from there. Yeah.
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 So y'all chose Q, which is a good choice.
Right.
Yeah. I do too. So that's
Well, truth be told, I mean, we've been doing barbecue since we were probably 14 years old.
We do cars and bikes. Growing up, we had big trucks and stuff. That used to be the jam, and now it's barbecue and family.
But that's the thing. Yeah.
Joking aside, like you're hitting on something here. At a certain point in your life, you got to reevaluate a couple things.
Yeah.
Right?
So. Yeah. And I think what, at least for myself, you know, what I'm discovering and a lot of people that I know is the masculinity piece is extremely important, but this isn't about like this, you know, beating your chest, you know, being the tough guy kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's the leading by example. It's doing the right things. It's having those relationships, you know, that Nick and I have. I mean, we both have sons, you know, displaying those best behaviors to our sons. I think what a lot of people would not off the bat think about that relationship with your wife, you know, what are you displaying to your children with that? Sometimes that feels like something that, you know, you don't talk a lot about, or, you know, we don't kiss each other in front of the kids or whatever. Like, no, we do. Mm-hmm. And we display this, and this is part of the masculinity. This is part of taking care of the household. It's not that there's all these things that she can't do, because there is all these things that she can't do or that she can do, but it's that I'm doing the things that she wants me to do, the things that I'm best at, mm-hmm. you know, and displaying that to our children. I just think it's so freaking important, and it's talked down so often.
Unpack that a little bit. What do you mean when you say it's talked down? What are you hearing?
Like, for me, it's, you know, it's just the stuff that, you know, you're hearing on the news, on the radio, on whatever, you know, the guys shouldn't be doing this. They shouldn't be doing that. You know, this is a bad guy over here. He yelled at this person, or he, mm-hmm. you know, did whatever these things that he did. You know, you hear all this stuff, all this static, and mm-hmm. you have to figure out how to weed through that. And that's really tough, because there's a lot of it out there. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out what's real, what's click, you know, basically clickbait, what's being used just to get, you know, follows and whatever. And what is really going to have that? Because in the end, for me, masculinity is, you know, making sure that my family's taken care of, and making sure that the ones that are coming after me are prepared
there's a sense in which masculinity includes the idea of legacy for you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's where it's changed in the recent years, like masculinity and like our generation, like him and I are very self-sufficient, mm-hmm. and, or you could call it cheap. I don't know. Like we try to figure things out, mm-hmm. you know, do everything our own. And like, it's pulling nails for me, at least, to get mm-hmm. somebody to come over and fix my fridge or do, you know, anything. Like, I'm not a plumber, I'm not an electrician, whatever, but I think the newer...
Do you barter?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, but like...
I love the barter system. Like, I'm a big fan.
But I love, like, you know, before I was in the industry I'm in, like, I was doing cars. And so, like, mm-hmm. some people are like, oh, yeah, man, I had a bad day today. You know, I took my car into Firestone and it's going to be $1,000. And I'm like, bring that thing over, we'll have a beer.
Right.
And I'll do it for $100.
But you wait know, a minute. Like, wait a minute, Nick. Now you're in danger of making a new connection, because you're wrenching on something together. You know?
So if you want to dig in with Nick,
yeah,
and he would be honest about what he was doing, that's exactly what he's doing.
Right.
Because Nick is one of those dudes that every chance he gets, he's making those connections.
Right, right. I want to go back to something you said, though, Ben, about the static and how you mm-hmm. filter that. Mm-hmm. Do you have like a personal standard that you're trying to put stuff that you hear or see up against that helps you to filter? Like, how do you think about that process of filtering out the static? Because there is, you know, we've all got these, like, I call them anxiety rectangles, mm-hmm. right? And we've got mm-hmm. them on us at all times, right? So how do you think about that actual give me the X's and O's is what I'm asking you, Ben. Give me the X's and O's to how you actually filter all that stuff. Is there a standard you're putting stuff up against? Like, what are you doing?
Man, I hadn't really thought a whole lot about it until you just said that. And I don't have like this guidebook, like these guidelines, you know, like mm-hmm. if it hits this mark, it's this. If it hits this mark, it's this. I, for some reason, feel, and it's always worked well for me, that I've just got a really good BS filter. Mm-hmm. So when I see that stuff and I hear it, I'm always thinking about, like, what are these people saying and what are they trying to accomplish? For me, mm-hmm. it's more about intent.
Right.
So when I hear something from someone, I'm thinking less about what they're actually saying and more about what their intent is.
Right.
So I guess that would probably be my main filter. Okay. So when I hear that stuff on the radio or on TV or whatever, I'm thinking about, what are these people's intent? Are they just trying to get somebody to click on something? Are they trying to make, manipulate somebody in some way, trying to influence somebody in some way because they prefer this direction? Or are they just really being honest and just putting it out there? You know, and mm-hmm. I guess that would be my main filter, really.
I think it's funny that you're talking about, like, what is the intent there? Because when we talk about, again, connection, there's a difficulty in getting past the transactional. When you talked a little bit earlier about a lot of your connections may remain on the surface. Why? Because it's not going to go deeper than the transactional. And so when you talk about a BS filter, when you talk about what is this person's intent, you're talking about can anything that's going on right now ever hope to go past the transactional? Because in other words, what does this person really want? Mm-hmm. And it's right. it's not me, man, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm listening to somebody talk. It's not, they don't want me in any kind of real way or a friendship with me or a whatever, you know. And what they want for themselves isn't even something substantial necessarily. It could be as simple as money. And this kind of sounds like a preacher, but I am a preacher. Hi. So I can say that, like, money's not substantial. Like, you need it because it's like a tool, or it's like a roof that keeps the rain off your head, so you need a certain amount of it, mm-hmm. which is fine. That's mm-hmm. great. Yep. But, like, money is not itself actually substantial. Yep. It is transactional.
Right.
By yep. its very nature.
Yep.
You know, it comes and it goes. So I think it's interesting that you're kind of pointing that out when you're talking about somebody's intent and trying to think about what is this person actually after, and is what they're after, does that go any deeper than the surface? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the answer is, frankly, no.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it seems like when it comes to, like, news and things like that, more often than not, it's, mm-hmm. it's not any deeper than that.
It's like really hard when somebody, I think, gets confronted with the fact that, most media, and I'm not just talking about legacy media, I'm talking about even about social media, because mm-hmm. you're talking about clickbait, right? Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. social media.
Absolutely, yeah.
That most media is actually about trying to sell you airspace, or like ad time. Mm-hmm. And when people don't know that, because they grew up maybe in like the Walter Cronkite generation, and they're like, they think of that talking head on TV as like a trusted, you know, a trusted source of information, right? Mm-hmm. And when you first try to lay out for them, you know, they're selling ad time, right? Like, that's essentially what this is about. It's hard for some people to wrap their heads around that space, mm-hmm. because they didn't want to believe that was a transactional thing that was happening.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of uncovering whatever agenda that they're trying mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. pass on to you or yeah. make yeah. you believe in. So sometimes the agenda is pretty hidden and it takes a little bit to uncover. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. just right out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the agenda is not always bad.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
sometimes it's a good agenda.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wholesome and
someone beneficial. Has something to share with you that yeah. they want you to
sometimes
be a part of.
You just need Ron Burgundy to read the news. Right?
That's it.
We want to read yeah. the news. Yeah. I want somebody yeah. to be yeah. straight with me. I'll be straight with you.
Right.
And that's how it should be.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I think I sympathize with that question of, is there a good sort of, so it's not always like a malicious intent that mm-hmm. somebody's got.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. There can be, and I really resonate with that because I'm a preacher.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And here's the problem with being a preacher. Somebody could be a preacher and have a really good intention, and somebody could be a preacher and have a really bad intention. But when you listen to them in a pulpit, it may not be immediately obvious on the surface what that intention is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that makes it really, really difficult. So when you talk about messaging, but when we think about the kinds of connections that we're making, what I want to know is, and maybe this is kind of a transplants question, but you've lived lots of places, and then mm-hmm. you've always been around Papillion, and what Dave, I actually don't know. Like, this is, I'm embarrassed. You're a member at our church, and I don't know how often have you moved around, or is this kind of home for you?
This is home for me. I grew up here in Lincoln, Northeast Lincoln. So okay, didn't move very far.
Okay,
joined the military. Did a lot of moving with the military.
Okay, sure.
And then I came back here.
Okay,
and then here I am now.
God's country. You got to come back.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I was West Coast Navy, so I mean, I got to see some really cool places. For but sure. Man,
were you out of San Diego for a while?
I was out of San Diego. Yep.
Did you do drinks and apps on Coronado?
I lived in Coronado for about a year and a half.
Dave, I want you to know that deep in my soul, I still love you and Jesus loves you, but I hate you. Yeah, I want you to understand that you got to sit out there with the sunshine tax and your windows open all day. Just perfect weather.
That's great.
So you've been around you're my source for Midwest information here too. Maybe as a transplant, I'm asking what works in this area in terms of making those connections and helping things to go past the surface, because sometimes, you know, I'm from down south, and I think the natives here are really, really super friendly, but sometimes there are some little cultural differences that you don't think are so big, and all of a sudden I feel like they jump up and they bite me in the rear end. So what works for y'all in terms of helping to build relationships and to make connections and to help those connections go beyond the surface to something a little bit deeper?
Do you have anything you want to start with?
I would say, like, the last topic of masculinity is mm-hmm. the first, you know, just being a little vulnerable, mm-hmm. you know, and saying, hey, I'm coming in. I'm not from here. I don't know everything, mm-hmm. you know, maybe like we have some friends that didn't grow up hunting and fishing like we did, you know, they want to get into it later on. And it's like, you have to open yourself up a little bit, I think.
In the spirit of opening yourself up a little bit, can I tell you like the worst, most embarrassing hunting story that I have from living here in Nebraska? Can I share that mm-hmm. with you? All right. This is bad. Like, when I say this is bad, like, I mean this is bad. All right,
we're ready.
So I got a buddy in the congregation, and he wanted it. So I got this southern accent, and I show up, and I'm from Nashville. It's like the home of country music, and everybody thinks that I grew up hunting and fishing. I grew up in a city, guys. Like, Nashville's a city, you know? So I didn't grow up hunting and fishing, right? So this guy wants to take me out hunting. I'm like, I'm excited about it. I'm like, yeah, I actually want to learn this, right? So we go out. I get my tags and everything with state, and we go out there. And then it's time to take a little break. And we go over to, I don't even know if it's still open, the Ding-a-ling over in Raymond.
Yeah, Raymond, Nebraska.
Yeah, is the Ding still open? Okay, all right. Shout out to the Ding. Little plug. Send me like a free hamburger or like a ticket or something. Anyway, so we went over to the Ding-a-ling over in Raymond to get some lunch, right? And I walk in and I take off some of my gear and stuff. Okay, now I told you this is bad. All right. I told you on the front end, this is bad.
Are you bird hunting or?
No, we're deer hunting.
Okay.
Yeah, we're deer hunting. And so so we go to get a little bit of lunch. We've been out there since before the sun came up. And I just cannot stress how bad this is because I didn't realize. Okay. So so we walk in and like I'm starting to take off the gear, you know, because I don't want to be sweating inside this bar while I'm trying to eat a hamburger. And I take off some of my gear, and underneath all my gear, my buddy spots, and I'm not making this up, and I wish I were making this up, a plaid, like a Scottish type plaid cashmere scarf that I was wearing wrapped up underneath all this hunting gear. 100% pure cashmere scarf.
I like cashmere.
Here's the problem. It's the only thing I own because I grew up in a city is cashmere scarf. Like I wear it with a jacket like I've got on right now, right? So and so I walk into the Ding-a-ling in Raymond, Nebraska with this cashmere scarf hanging out. And they didn't have a jukebox that could skip. But Dave, I'm telling you, if they had a jukebox that could skip, it'd be like, you know, as I walked in the door. So that's my, and I embarrassed my buddy in the middle of the ding. was glad we didn't get into a bar fight in the middle of the day.
It's here, like Howard Hughes walking guy. Into the bar.
Yeah, I know. Like I looked completely out of place. I had to throw it over my shoulder with the scarf.
I actually bought a pair of cashmere leather gloves one time, and it was a bad story, but they've been the best gloves over the last 20 years.
It's because it's comfortable, man. And it's really
with,
good wool.
With leather on the outside, it's legit, for sure.
I know, but that's,
it's not only for your wives.
You're right, yeah.
I don't know about that. Idea.
I don't think I'm going to be caught in it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I think
masculinity.
Right.
And that's a side story too, because we on our podcast we talk a lot about hunting and fishing, just random episodes.
Sure.
And I feel like the hunting gear has just gone over the top, man. Yeah. Like people need to just chill out. Like what works. It's not that big of a deal. We're going out.
I have a theory. I want y'all to try out this theory with me. I've never said this in public. This is the first time.
All right. Here.
So let's just say it into the internet of things. Yep. Okay. So this is my big theory. So we've had, and I mean this again as a pastor. I think it's unfortunate that we've had 30 years of straight warfare as a nation. Mm-hmm. I really wish that we could take a little different tack there. I know that sounds like a preacher, but again, I am a preacher. So. I understand there's a time and place for war. There absolutely is a time and place for war, but I think 30 years of war is probably, we need to take a different tack. So that's my personal opinion. But I think after about 30 years of warfare, and we've seen so many guys that served, they signed up after 9/11, they went over there, they did their best, they came home. I really do think with this gear question, it's a side effect of having so many veterans today.
Yeah.
Because they got used to kit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got used to kit. Because it's all about your gear and making sure your gear is all in order and all this.
Yeah.
You know, used to, and again, to the Nebraska Fish and Wildlife people, I am not condoning this at all. but, used to, guys would go out, in a pickup truck, am I wrong? And, night sight something and shoot it out the window, right? Like, that doesn't take gear.
People do that,
right?
That's a, ish.
Yeah. Ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, you don't need kit. You don't need gear to do that, But it becomes almost like a fetish item that these guys have to have all this kit, this kit and gear.
I think it's as you just grow older, you're trying to bring back your glory days.
Right.
And it's, back in the day, when I started duck hunting when I was 4 and a half. Mm. And, we were poor, had a metal bucket with some briquettes in it and, mm-hmm. Froze my butt off in that duck blind, but learned the best lessons there.
Yeah.
About patience and just
making stuff work.
Yeah, making stuff work.
You and I grew up very similarly. You grew up with those coals in the bucket, learning how to duck hunt. And I grew up with an early Nintendo set that had Duck Hunt on it.
I had Duck Hunt too.
You did.
But that was the last game system that I've ever had.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, I didn't go past Nintendo either, actually, at my house.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think, originally what you were talking about was in this area.
Yeah.
You know, how do you break through there and make those connections, I guess, was kind of part of the question.
Yeah, what works?
Yeah.
I'm looking for X's and O's here. What works?
Man, so for me, what I would say is it's being genuine. Mm-hmm. And it's staying the course, I guess, is the best way to explain it. So the bottom line is, and this is, again, what I've found out, as I get older, when I meet folks, I'm going to be who I'm going to be. When I leave here, you guys are either going to be he seems like a pretty good dude. I'd like to hang out with him again. Or you're going to be like, man, that guy said a couple of things.
Yeah,
and
he's a tool.
And mm-hmm. I honestly don't care.
Right.
You know what I mean? I've gotten to that point where it's it doesn't matter to me. I'm not interested in earning everyone's, praise or whatever, acceptance.
Right.
I do want to be friends with them. Why wouldn't I want to be friends with them? But
sure.
I'm going to be who I'm going to be. And when you do that, I think that genuineness comes through.
Oh yeah.
And I think for folks in the Midwest, again, it goes back to that BS filter that I was talking about earlier. I've been working with farmers for years. So that's where my business is at. These dudes know almost as soon as you're driving down the driveway,
mm-hmm.
before you even get out of your truck, if mm-hmm. you are the real deal or not. Yeah. And it's not just because all the different things you're displaying. It's just like that there's something going on there with folks in the Midwest that we can sense mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
We can sense it.
Smell it a mile
away.
Down the road.
Yeah, right. So it's to me, it's just, you're not going to, don't try to trick it.
Right.
Just be who you're going to be.
Right.
And eventually, like, your tribe or your group or whatever the terms are that everyone likes to use nowadays.
Right.
You're going to find each other.
You find your people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And for those who aren't your people, they can have different, but they can't have better. How you like them apples?
Yep.
Ben Evers says there you can have different than me, but you can't have better. There you go.
And it ain't even that, honestly. Like, I know that we're joking around, but people, you know, if there's some other group or whatever, something else that you want to do that's more fun and you're more enjoyable and whatever,
sure,
do it, man. Do it. Like, we're to that point in life, you know, as we get to these ages where it's like all of the interactions that we have and the time that we spend, you know, again, coming out here today, you know, we're an hour from you guys. You know, we come out here, you put everything together. It's a 4 or 5 hour deal. It's like that's a commitment.
Right.
So is it worth it? You know, is it, are we going to have fun? Are we going to make connections? Like you said, right. is it going to have a positive effect on anybody?
Right.
You know, those kinds of things. So those are the things that I'm thinking about in my mind. And I 100% believe that just be yourself, man. And in the Midwest, that's going to come through.
Cool.
People are going to love you or hate you, and who, you know, it is what it is.
Well, guys, this was a trip for you, and I really appreciate y'all making the trip, making the time, because that's a gift. I mean, you had to commit to that, and I think we're going to maybe kind of wrap up the discussion here. And again, you know, we have a massive fan base.
Typically
our podcasts are not Rogan length. Okay. So, but we're going to wrap it up here, but guys, thank you so much for making the commitment, coming out. Dave, thanks for coming out, as part of your, Miss USA tour as the winner with the tiara, the crown, you know, you got the
fan favorites,
we we're going to see who takes home the trophy next year. Cause we're going to do this again, guys. I'm going to ask you on air.
Yep.
Yeah. Guys, I'm going to ask you on air right now. I want to know the commitment.
I told them,
are you going to come back out next year?
I told
for
them
Rib
earlier
Fest?
This, like, just a couple days ago, I'm like, they're sinking their hooks into us.
Yeah, a little bit. No, but we had
total fun, and like, we're in for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, all right. I'm looking forward to
it. Thanks, guys.
Last thing, if I could say.
Sure, yeah.
We're going to put this on our podcast as well. We're going to broadcast it out to the common folk is what we call it. So if anybody in the common folk nation that listens that's not familiar with you guys, where can they find your guys' podcast?
Just go on iTunes and search for 1.5 Pastors, and that's what you find us under. Yeah.
Awesome. I've listened to a couple preparing for this
because
Joel had told me about it.
Okay.
And I've enjoyed it. I think you guys do a great job. So we appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys having us out, affiliating with us.
Where can we find your podcast?
So ours is same deal. On any podcast platform, it's called Common Folk.
Common Folk.
Yep. Nice. So if you look it up, you know, everyone's got the little the thumbnail.
Yeah.
So the thumbnail's like three colors, like red, green, gray, blue, whatever. You'll see it. You can't miss it. It's got our three beautiful faces.
So
on
Common
it.
Folk. Awesome. All right, guys. Yep. Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.